stick with it up in a couple of weeks.
That's kind of good. You should be very happy.
I was very happy. You know what happened to you?
Go on.
You know what happened, friend of mine?
Yeah.
My son said, another friend, what's the matter with you? My wife brought and taught me 3 months. Then you asked her for this! The 3 months is over.
Tulsa trip. I don't think he cares who his friends are. He forgets his old friends.
Oh, shit. promised if they produce a farm bill, he'd have a golf game, and there's been no golf game. And Whitaker said Belcher is just, you know, he's just in a bitching mood. And so Bryce and Whitaker met with him to try and undo this. And Belcher wrote the letter, and Harlow got him to give it to him rather than to send it, and to agree not to put it out. It's a mean, nasty, silly letter. Belcher has said to Harlow that if he will personally deliver the letter to you, and you will read it and then burn it, that'll take care of the things for the moment. And if you don't, he thinks he's going to walk out of the farm program and blast you. And the chicks are sure that would be your request. So Bryce, I said, your question is, why don't you just give it to me? Well, Bryce said, no, at this point, he has to give it to me. And the time I hand it to the president.
You know, when he said the brief talk, I sat with him that day on the airport.
He said it was a long time.
Hour and a half.
And he had tracked half of
that time for the whole way, 2 hours. But I sat there and I man, that's the thing, Bob. You've got to stop this bit of slow. The congressman, the senator, right here, Air Force One, if that's the way they are, I think they, and Bob, remember, I told you, don't put them on that plane.
Everybody says this is irrational and all that, you know, that they're just. Figured we got it. They're trying to keep them on the reservation.
Well, I don't want to get any of those ideas on the broader thing. Aren't we really going to be really borrowed trouble by having these people on the Force One without me sitting and talking to them?
Oh, no. Not 99% of them.
Okay.
With Jack Miller, yes.
Yeah.
With Paige Belcher, maybe yes. Although I think, yes. And yeah. But an awful lot of people, we get a lot of mileage from there, just being on there. They don't expect to talk to you. They don't want to. I still think we shouldn't do it. I still think it's better for your state of mind if they're not on there. And that's really what matters.
That's right. Let's just not do it. But we don't have reasons.
We tell them in advance, and they expect it in advance. And then the problem is you're nicer to them than we've set them up to be. And then you know, they don't. Then you get Rumsfeld's water theory sets in, and you spend. Yeah.
Then how can we just do, have them not go? There's no way. Because you see, we're going to be having to go to the country a lot in April, May, March, and April.
March and April.
I mean, I'll be going. They have to go. I mean, you've got to take them. God, it's a pain in the ass. So. Isn't it?
Well, maybe we don't. We've gotten out of it on some of the trips in some ways.
Some could say that.
We can suggest they be out there ahead of time, give them separate transportation, advanced plane, or they're already out there anyway. Or you're coming from another place. That would be easy for not going just from Washington.
No, that would be easy. I think what we should do.
See, the way is to go to Florida.
You know what? It's to plan virtually every trip we take from Florida.
Yeah, go to Florida for the weekend, then leave Monday morning and go someplace.
How about bringing them back?
There's no way to avoid the bringing them back,
right?
Usually.
But you're going to get
coming back to Washington, you can't
do that. I don't have to be prepared or something.
It's like that man Percy in Chicago. But Percy's a case in point. Percy can give his life not to be on the plane because he merchandises it. He doesn't really give a damn about talking to you. That isn't what he's talking for. He's on there, so it'll be known that he was on.
Your point about Bryce is him coming. Why doesn't he give it to me tomorrow night?
Well, he could. He's around here now or today. So he'd get. I think it'd be better if he gave it to Belcher yesterday. If he could call him today and say, I went in and got it to the president. It's all taken care of.
Yeah,
move it fast.
Is Bryce saying I ought to call him and play golf?
I don't think
not this kind of way. No, I haven't played golf. I don't play. I mean, he knows that. Does McGregor tell him such things that I don't play?
few that we have parked and the other guys handle.
Mike Miller and the rest of us.
Most of them do it. And so you just write off, there's some people, there's no way you're going to satisfy.
They're just chronic pictures. Where is Bryce? Does he want to, come in here with him?
I think he's just not a pleasure. He's,
right off Bryce. Talk down here.
I just haven't handed the letter. So I'm sorry you had to handle this sticky thing. Appreciate it. Let it go. If Carlos in the building, he's got a letter to deliver to the president. He could just come up and bring it in. If he's not in the building, he's due here sometime shortly. I understand. Don't call him over to see if he's here.
He's a good fellow. He's about to be able to run out and make a little talk. Did I mention that?
Mention Dallas, yeah. We gave you Rose Bowl tickets to a guy again this year. They gave you the tickets. Got a great story out of it. A 19-year-old Long Beach City college student who
volunteered for...
He had pulled an unconscious deputy sheriff from a blazing squad car.
Oh, that? No, I heard it on the television.
Did you?
The guy's a gang.
Yeah. Well, this is the guy. And he had done that back last April, and he was in this Pete Pitches recognition program, you know, and he'd saved the life of this deputy whose car turned over first into flames during a pursuit. And they had warned him that the car was going to explode at any moment. He kept working at the stuck door. I've got an official commendation for heroism. And the White House called him and asked if he'd like to attend the Michigan-Stanford game. He went to Stanford, apparently. And so they took him, and it was mentioned on the TV, and the Attorney General introduced him at the kickoff
yeah.
Got a standing ovation, you know, all this kind of stuff. So
yeah.
It was another good little gimmick that, you know, we've done.
We do for years in our country that we talk a lot about those things. We just hope they get through. Of course, climbing and bumbling ways, and being a little short and things you've got. A lot of it must get out. Did you ever get out of it? Did you ever be able to get anybody to follow up?
The longer they take to do them, the better, because otherwise you're going to get the thing off the some of the track. That's what worries him. He's not worried about the negotiations, he's worried about the Soviets. And Cisco has completely linked the plane delivery to the negotiation thing, and Rabin says there's nothing we can do. We've got to agree to negotiations in order to get the airplanes, and they won't give us the planes without the negotiations, so we're going to do it. The other thing that worries Henry, he says it's no problem, no real problem, but they're talking to Rabin because Rabin comes and tells Henry what they've told him. But as soon as they get the Israeli agreement, which they'll get here Friday or Monday, then they'll go to the Egyptians and start dealing with them, and we don't know what they tell the Egyptians because the Egyptians won't tell us. But the Russians will know what they tell the Egyptians, and he's concerned about that. And his point is that somehow, now, let me say in Henry's behalf that in spite of his, you know, screwed up attitude and everything, he went back through it again this morning. He still sees some of these plots and some of these problems and his psychopathic reaction, but he has, with considerable self-discipline, made this decision that he's going to stay and that he's going to live with whatever the situation is while he stays. And he said nothing now is going to change that. You will never hear for the rest of this year he said, I reviewed all the negotiations. He said, I'll tell you perfectly frankly, I was not satisfied with what you and Mitchell told me about how you were going about this. And that was what decided me to resign at the end of January, which was my decision on Friday. And then over the weekend, I went through all of this and talked with Al again, reviewed it and all that. And on the basis of that, I'm going to say, he says, I know I'm arrogant. I know I'm impossible to deal. It was really quite a humble sort of thing he went through, trying to make me understand his position. But I'm difficult to deal with. But the clear thing here is that I only act in the president's interest for what I perceive to be.
Excuse me, Mr. Harlow has already. He's giving a presentation in the Madison Hotel. We'll be returning at 12:30 this evening. It's on the road, so. Would you like to skip about that time, sir?
Yeah. Okay, he's around, if I'm still around.
Yes, sir, whether I'm gone or something. But
you just let me know.
Let us know when he comes in.
I'll just let me know when he's around. He's basically right. I mean, he says, I know my ego gets in the way, and I know I'm a problem. I'm sorry about that, but I said, I guess that's the way I am. So he goes around on that. But then he says, somehow, the president's got to get a handle on this Israeli thing so that we do at least control the pace of it. And there's a further complicating factor. State has now gotten into the Israeli political problem because they've asked Diane to come in now. And they're seeing him on February 1st or February 3rd or something. And he said, have Dave handle it or do whatever you want on it. But somehow, you got to get on top of it. Well, he is saying it in his desperate state. He's really kind of quietly and randomly trying to figure out how to deal with the problem. He doesn't know. That was today's thing. Well, yesterday, we had a flap that's come and gone, but I think it probably had serious implications, which was that the Indian press ran a story saying that Pakistan had sent 10 F-104s Jordan had sent 10 F-104s to Pakistan. And the State Department big
big press inquiry on this, and the Fulbright people are going to be investigating it. And there's a serious problem here because when we cut off trade to Pakistan, the aid to Pakistan, by law, that requires anybody we're aiding not to aid Pakistan with our stuff. Something that's a complex thing, you probably know. Well, they got the story in the paper. So there was one that we had, that Liberia or Nigeria or somebody, whoever else has planes that we sent on there. That's clearly shut down. We didn't know about that one. And we really didn't. And it was one that happened.
During the Nigeria war, you mean?
No. Somebody, one of the African nations had some planes that they also provided here.
Yeah.
Or asked here or something.
We didn't do it.
We weren't in it. It was a bilateral thing that we didn't even know about. But we went to that thing last night. That gets in it. And then got Rogers very shook. And then Rogers, with Henry, went out of the room, came back in and got Mitchell and me, and got back into the Alsan column business, which is really driving him up the wall. He's absolutely convinced that Henry did that. And he got very emotional about it. Well, Mitchell doesn't think he did, and I don't.
Well, Henry, that's the only reason I don't think he did. That's
the image. Alsop says, you know, he says what his sources are. He said he's told Hay where he got it, and at least according to Hay.
Very good.
We got some of the quotes and stuff from a guy in Elkins or somebody in the State Department, and the quote on the fact that the CIA documents proved had were conclusive as to the intent to invade West Pakistan.
Well, that's true.
He says he got from Helms. Helms says, I can't tell you what they said, but I can tell you that they were conclusive.
That's right. Well, Bill knows that's true. Bill was in the meeting when they were read. You know what they were? They have got a source of that in the Indian camp. Well, that's what Helms told us at least.
But
if Bill's so upset about Elsa's phone, can you see now how Henry would be upset when stuff was written by other columns about Henry?
Yeah.
This is one of the few that the very ones that starts back in.
Yeah. I have a lingering doubt way in the back of my mind, because at the time that Henry was rumbling around out there in San Clemente, he said, I'm going to strike back. If nobody else is going to defend me, I've got to defend myself.
Maybe he got Alsop in.
He may have not gotten Alsop himself. He may have had it done some other way, so that he could say without lying, I did not talk to Alsop. Well, he says flatly, I did not talk to Alsop for 3 weeks. Hadn't talked to him for 3 weeks. But then Rogers gets into his big diatribe about Alsop was the laughing stock and the cocksucker. I think we've got to send a memo from you. I asked Rose to type it out. I talked to John about your
bringing that out,
and he said, no, about I read the memo to John, and your kind of suggestion of how to package it. And he urged very strongly that you not do so. He said, you should not be in the position of putting yourself, in effect, hostage to them. You shouldn't be asking for understanding. You should be, they know.
Yeah.
Henry and Bill both know we're in a crucial foreign policy year and a crucial election year. And the request you're making is totally reasonable on its face.
Make it totally cold.
Well, it's not totally cold. It says, I know there are problems involved in this. I know they've been thoroughly discussed, but I also know that you realize the critical nature of this year, and we've got to go after the witnesses.
Right.
We'll get that in.
All right.
And
all right.
You may want to change some wording, but he urges that you not go back to
the preparing for
Rose.
Ask Rose.
Well,
and I don't know it right now. She's doing the same thing.
Well, I can't. Bob, Rose, have you done that? I know the Rogers and just did.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead and finish that, and we'll get it sent you out.
Okay.
Bye.
I think we ought to get it.
Mitchell's, your thought about getting it out is what just gives Rogers to.
Well, they get to this thing, because what Henry's concerned about seems to be probably about, maybe it's not. So this too, is Doreen gets back tonight. and we still are in a position where Rogers has said he will not abide by the Kissinger directive, which in effect means he's saying he won't abide by his agreement with Mitchell and me, that he'll keep you posted. Now, I think we've got to get back on the track of you getting notice of meetings that he has with Doreen, at least, hopefully with Ravine. Before and after. And we're not getting the story. We know we're not getting the story on the Ravine meetings because Ravine's telling us. The problem is we won't know what we get or don't get from the Green or from the Egyptians.
I think you will from the Green. The Green will tell him. You won't know from the Egyptians.
Swears to God. quite disturbed about this. He's convinced it was a plot. Thing over there. And both Mitchell and I had to agree that it looked like there was something, but our argument was it was obviously a bit, Cisco or something like that was maneuvering something here. But then Rogers then, yeah, because he knew so much about it. I mean that's what really Haig was saying after it. Incredible, right? He knew more about the whole thing than we did. And he did. He knew all the specifics of the law. He knew exactly, you know,
his bill, because of his own vanity, might be allowed that, and his hatred of Henry to blind him on this thing. I think he is. We called Bill in my
office. Well, we called Bill. They were in my office, and John said, well, we've got to get Bill in here. And we can't go over there asking him. Here. So I called, said I was here with John Mitchell, we had something come up, wondered if he could come over and join us. And he said, yes, it'll be a few minutes. And he shouted, hold the car or something, and then came back and said, I'm going home. I just got home, but I've got to stop the car and come right back in. And I said, oh, no, don't do that. Mitchell said, no, we'll meet me in the morning. See, this was at 5:30 last night or something. And I said, Bill, no, come on in the morning first thing, we'll go over then. He said, no, I'll come right in now. And he wasn't about to not meet with us. So he drove all the way back in.
Mitchell's very good at these things, isn't he? Now he's standing up where the well is all here now.
Yep, very. And he's damn good with Henry because he just hits, you know, Henry will hit something. Mitchell will say, for Christ's sake, Henry, you're out of your freaking mind. And he said, just right straight out of his flaps it back.
Does he?
And Henry backs off then. Problem is, we're all on both sides of this one.
That's very
odd. Yeah, on
the other hand.
communicate copies. So then we can push copies only to
you and the copy show.
Ron and me and
I think you and Ron.
Clark
and John. Then you can and then what you do, Rob, is basically you can get a good feel of what it is. Otherwise you're gonna get into a situation here where Henry, of course, is involved in maybe some instances where I shouldn't get too frankly emotionally involved in Pat's overreacting to this issue or that issue or the other. You know,
yeah.
You can see what I mean. On the other hand, I think his analysis is invaluable. Invaluable because he will look at it in terms of he'll see some goblins under the bed. He always does. But on the other hand, he'll pick up some. You send this in to him. Did you notice this one?
We haven't sent it. No, I haven't seen it. Well, I just got it. I got it read.
The news center.
I have the news center, but I don't have the. I have read the news center. I see here's the answer to papers.
But just get reading them. You see what I mean? How that would correct that if Kitty and Gresham knows.
Henry knew about the region. This didn't go to him.
Well, the region, I know it. I mean, it's past analysis.
Yeah.
You see, he said, if you can't, they're doing something.
It's actually a very innovative, mysterious,
significant motivation. It's that I think Henry should not see.
Yeah.
We've got to protect him from that kind of thing.
Well, Henry is aware of that possibility, too, though. I mean, I agree with you. No point in seeing it. He won't. He doesn't see us cheating anyway.
Of course, there's that possibility. He reads every tidbit about himself anyway. Worries about him. But I think that I don't want him to build up in his own mind the idea that the White House staff people are worried about Henry and are standing by him and are saying, you see, that's what he interpreted that. That's how I should. That's what I'm saying. Not Buchanan's fault. Buchanan's written exactly as he sees it. And I think that would worry him.
Yep.
Sure, Pat knows this is a hell of a good job. It's a damn good job he does. And it's a great, frankly, improvement as far as I think twice a week is the time to do it. You can look at it, say, Monday night, you know, after. You should try to get it in Monday afternoon so that you could consider it before the leaders' meeting. And it can be raised to the leaders with greater address. And the other, you should try to get in Thursday night, so that we can see what the hell we want to hit for the weekend stories and prepare people for the talk shows. It's perfect, don't you think?
Rather than getting in the next morning,
I think so.
That's good.
He can read. He doesn't need to see what the Monday night TV does.
Sure.
In other words, he can just cover the weekend.
Sure.
And he doesn't need to cover. The Thursday night should be Friday morning. I should say Friday morning. It's fine. He might as well have Thursday night TV. Boy, doesn't make that much difference.
No. Because you're doing this, you're trying to do these in perspective, you're not trying to do
it. You're correct. And the Thursday morning papers will have everything Thursday night TV. God, what a job you told us. I knew you were at a tough day of today because I was sweating through stuff with price and such higher information. And you know, it was a good thing in a way. Because that way I can work with Sapphire doing this speech without having Henry breathing down.
Henry, it's interesting. Henry said this morning he read the Sapphire speech and he said it's a very good job. He said, I was very impressed. Only a couple minor things that I've had any objection to at all. He said, of course, it isn't the way I would have written it, but I think it will probably be better for television than mine was. But he is. Of course, it helps. You know, he put a view on it.
Doesn't make a difference.
He does.
He wouldn't take it from anybody else. He wouldn't respect him. But Sapphire is so smart and basically Jewish that he gets along with it. And also smart. If you ever read the two, I mean, if I want you to do it at some point, read the first Kissinger draft. surveyors continue to hammer away. Our need for somebody, the only guy actually that can work with Henry is Sapphire. Which makes me think we have to reconsider. I'll talk just a little about it, about the staff and China thing. I frankly think Sapphire can do the job. I mean, if there's any communique or other kinds of writing or concern, he can work a lot closer and faster with both Henry and Rogers. And maybe a bridge between the two. This is not crisis issue. We weren't going to take projects, and also it's not Buchanan's. Buchanan can't take something from one person to another. He put his own views in. It's a very real problem. Maybe we've already told him to cross that bridge.
We told Buchanan, you know, you said to Tom way back that we'd take him. We did.
Well, we may not need anybody. Those here, as I worked on this, I said, I'll build it. To Henry, and I said, you've got to go sell it to Rogers. And the major difference with Henry is smart enough to notice is an age difference. It's a theory of being smart, as I told you before. It's a, Henry, in about every third sentence, Dr. Kissinger did this, Dr. Kissinger did that, he wanted this, he offered this. Well, I just got there.
Clear thing here is that you can't let Rogers have one little little man get in the way of doing the things that need to be done to get what you're after accomplished.
Well, we can get Roger to program too.
Sure. Cool. Tell him question. Get Roger John. All the programs you want.
In fact, we will want to do both. Might be wish to have Andy go on and have Roger go on.
Well, you'll have a result out of this that most of what there will be to talk about in terms of accomplishment will be Roger's to talk about, because it'll be the cultural stuff, the trade stuff, and all that kind of thing. Well, why is that bad? Let Roger talk about it.
I'm all for it.
And let the other thing just say, we did exactly what you intended to do on the political front. You wanted to open a conversation and start talking.
In one sense, Bob, but I think with regard to Rogers, all the cabinet, only accepting the economy, that the line has got to be, I can't be concerned about that.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, I think you would have to agree with me, the economy is a very definite exception that's presented.
Yeah.
He is the one man that we cannot afford to lose. We could have never lose anybody else. Rogers left, anybody else is going to make a hell of a lot of difference. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They walked out.
We've been going through about this whole planning thing, which is going to be hard to put together.
Yeah.
Although he's going to talk to Tommy Sutton, and that may help or may not. But, the problem is,
I think you want to do it.
He never did want to do it, but yeah, he'll do whatever needs to be done. But the problem is going to be, and Pete's talked with him, and I've talked with him following up on it, is going to be the rest of the people in here, and the basic problem, whether we're doing the right thing in putting Connolly out into the position that he's in. There's no question of the value and rightness of Connolly being the economic spokesman.
Right.
International economic, domestic economic.
Right.
There is a real question as to the feasibility of Connolly being the economic policy maker. And in effect, and I've been trying to think this thing through as to where
on monetary affairs, he's got the policy of it, because that's treasury.
It's crazy, but it overlaps with other people too. Now, he can be the final decision maker. But as you work towards arriving at policy, see, you put him not only on monetary, you put him on trade. You said you wanted the trade guy to report to him, and you know, nothing on that. So I've been pushing to try and see what the problem is. The problem is not the announcing of policy, but arriving at policy. The problem is, if you tell one cabinet officer that he is the guy, and it becomes clear that he is, you've got a problem how you enforce that. For example, how do you enforce Connolly's authority in trade policy? Rogers won't take that. And as soon as he realizes that that's what the direction is, he and the State Department are going to start putting out the fact that's been turned over to Connolly, and then starts sniping at it from under the
way he was planning.
Any section of the RDC will do it.
Well, I might have to pull it together.
The question is, what
else you got to get to give it to planning?
Well,
that's my point.
Yeah, because that's what the purpose of that council is. In other words, you should make the policy.
Well, I'm not making the policy.
Right.
I'm planning to go to the Connolly first, because I frankly have more respect for Connolly's judgment on that.
As far as judgment, that's fine. But the point is, the question, see, no department is going to believe that its view has been considered if it thinks it's submitting that view to another department. That goes back to the thing we talked about when we were structuring this to begin with.
Yeah.
Remember we talked about we were going to take each problem and have one department be the lead agency on it. And the others, whatever that was, the others would report to that department. It won't work. Now, there's a difference here, as I see it, as came up to me with Connolly, which is part of it is what you're turning to the Treasury Department and Connolly as its head to do. The other part is what you're delegating to Connolly as John Connolly, not as the Secretary of the Treasury. And there, you get to the position of, in effect, not reality, but de facto, I mean, not in appearance, but in reality, in effect, you're making Conde, in a sense, the deputy president for international economic affairs and for domestic economic affairs. You're delegating to him, assigning to him your responsibility in that area. That's what you said. The problem is that if that were all he were doing, if he were in Klein's role and you did, he were the head of that council, there'd be no problem, because then he would be the president's man working the departments. But he is also the Secretary of the Treasury. There is a problem in that he is now not carrying out the duties of the Secretary of the Treasury because he's so swamped in other things. He's not accessible at the lower levels for the kinds of things that need to be done. That would be all right if he had a competent staff in whom he had confidence and on whom he would rely. He doesn't even have the staff, as he pointed out. He's lost, a whole batch of his staff. Also, he's chairman of the Cost of Living Council, which he is not performing in his role as. And then you get to the question of what you really end up with is a make-believe council on international economic policy. And it's argued that you can't get away with that as soon as you have a make-believe council, it will be known instantly. The other alternative is to say that you change the system, that you're not going to have a council, make-believe or otherwise, and that you are moving this authority to the Secretary of the Treasury, which may be a way to do it. But the problem you get there is you get the guys like Schultz and Ehrlichman who it's hard for them to do anything on your behalf, because if they have to work under Conde, which they're perfectly willing to do if he's available, it doesn't work because he doesn't have the staff or the time available to them to do it. And he really is, he's overworked, so you do have a problem there. And Schultz is we got a problem with Schultz in this regard, not on a personal basis, and this is not a thing where you got to worry about him on therapeutics. It's a question of his trying to determine how he's supposed to work. And he made the point today that he realized yesterday how disconnected he's become from you in that Commerce State decision, whatever it was that came up yesterday. You gave him a lot of thinking of yours that he didn't know, that if he reports to Conde, which in effect he now will do, Conde doesn't know that either. And Conde is...
Commerce State stuff. All of this about... No, Conde has talked about this in hours, about the need for relationship between the two.
Okay, everyone. Conde, the thing that concerns your people, and I have to admit it concerns me to a degree, is that Conde doesn't have your depth. He doesn't have your breadth. And obviously, he doesn't have your ultimate responsibility. Therefore, he can say and do and think things that you can't. Also, he has built into him a very strong antagonism against the White House staff. He is a bureaucrat. And he will not deal with anything that builds the White House. And that's why I think you're going to have a problem with him. With the
flag. Yeah.
And he does go off on his own, like the Gold Statement in Rome, where he makes a unilateral decision based on his own staff work, where he doesn't take input from here. And you can argue that the president needs some people in the White House that are his own people that tell him what's happening or what they think, only on the basis of the president's interest. And they've got to know what's going on. And Schultz, for instance, now has no knowledge of what's going on in international trade. Now that's fine if you don't want him in, but who the hell's going to tell you that you trust what's going on in international trade? Where are you going to get it all from Conde?
It'll be fine.
Okay.
Flanagan's got to be, that's the reason he's so key to this.
Yeah.
He's got to be, Conde knows he cannot do this. He's got to have, he's remembered his conversation with you, and I've got to have, the White House has got to take this responsibility. We need somebody, but you couldn't use Peterson for it, because Peterson just was too worried.
But I'm not sure Conde's going to accept it now, because we're down the road or something from that.
Flanagan.
Not going to accept Flanagan. And the way you positioned it doesn't really put Flanagan in that position. And
could you join Flanagan in a meeting with Conde?
Sure.
I think that's important to see how this thing is on staff is often not the reason.
That's right.
He has that people very rare. As I said, except for you.
Well, that's just a...
He has that feeling about the other musicians. I think I'm justified. I don't know. Partly as a part of this, maybe they have offered
a time to give it. Well, Conlon doesn't like anything he likes, and it's wrong. Like, I don't think he probably liked the process we went through on the county decision. He had a very strong view. He said, pardon us, son of a bitch, you get out. We sat around calling lawyers, advisors, and all that. Yeah, there's a different solution. I don't think he thinks that's the way to do things. I think he thinks you should take the bit and run. And I think the White House staff frustrates you. I know they do. It gets in your way.
Well,
you know, times when good people keep
raising questions.
Why don't you recognize it as a value? Well, you recognize you use it as for input, too, on the basis of that sometimes your first, you recognize that your first decision on something isn't necessarily right. I'm not sure Conley has that kind of scope
sometimes, doesn't he? Well, like, for example, his suggestion yesterday that an effective reconfirmation of the judges. We've got, he went through all that. That was in the period of Theodore Roosevelt. And that was decided in this country. Never be raised again.
Then he went through the forcible retirement. Well, Franklin Roosevelt went through that in his court back.
Well, the forcible retirement is Franklin could have gotten away with forcible retirement.
If he had
to pack the court. And I think forcible retirement is something we need to come to. I mean, I think the impact is more viable. Certainly, it's very circumstances. The difficulty with it, though, is that it raises so much trouble if people begin to immediately argue over to the House and the Senate, because they're going to get everybody from Arthur Passman to the chairman.
Yeah,
but who's God to, you know, everybody that I could possibly think of? No, I know that. But you got to finally face up to one tough thing. Conlon is very important to us.
Absolutely. Question is, how do you protect him? Because Erdogan makes the point that moving this kind of focused economy not only threatens the orderly process of getting stuff to you and decided, but also will automatically build up antibodies. And it already is happening. I mean, he's getting it without any reason from Romney and some of that kind of people. You don't need to worry about them. But you do need to worry if it starts building up antibodies of affected people within the bureaucracy that are going to start moving around. You can say that's up to Flanagan to handle that. But there's no question whether we can. I can ask some of these questions that John could have come. I make the point. One departmental guy, even Conley, can't wheel other departments. Ehrlichman, for instance, trying to put this dope peddler thing together, has done a very potent job of wheeling departments. Thought he had Treasury, but now Conley's got off the reservation. He's got to go back and put a patch on because he's got to Conley. But the point there is that Conley could never have put that together. Because Conley couldn't go over to Justice and line up all the Attorney General, the Deputy Assistant Attorney General, and get them lined up, as Erdogan has. And so, it's a...
tremendous economy, liar economy I've ever learned. But on the other hand, his judgment on the other side will not be good. So I need, but another thing, we also need his support. Now the, let me say that this,
go ahead. Here's the question. If economy is going to take on,
I don't want anything public on
that. No, no,
you know, and then we talked about, he knows that everybody has to be the great man.
Internally.
He knows it's all internal.
But see, you can't keep it unpublic in the sense that the people, the operating people, are going to know it. And the question is, how will Connally handle that role? Will he use the CEA as an advisor to him? Will he use Schultz as an advisor to him? Will he use your backup staff? Or does he try to do it all by himself or within his treasury staff, which is capable of it? And how do you wield this other staff? Now that's, you can say that's what planning does, but that's a tough role to do. Yeah.
So what do you suggest? Well, let me put a different dimension to this.
A lot of the toothpaste is out of the tube on it, too. I think you can't shove it back in. I mean, you said certain things to Tommy that I think we gotta look at.
Tommy's prepared to do a beast. He's prepared to be so smart and strategic. He knows what he can and can't do. He doesn't want the doc to get shot. He's very sensitive about that.
That's the part that kind of worries me, because if he does, if we set up some of these things and they do, if the antibodies build up, if he does get shot, if the bureaucracy starts
to be wise or comics,
I'm afraid that you have to tell me.
And you can do it through Peter and everybody. And then let me take them on. You see what I mean? What I really want him is my close associate advisor and so forth on these things, Bob. He's got to be in on these things. That's what it really gets down to. And on the trade, and here you see Schultz basically is dead home on trade politically, because he's a free trader. You see, that's fine, or normal years. It's disastrous.
consider him in certain areas very important, you know what I mean? But George is basically is just has lived as long as Conway and I have. That's what everybody comes down to.
Sure.
And I can't say that about Rogers or Laird. Mitchell, I can say about it in a certain tactical field. But Mitchell is going to be here. He's going to be over on the campaign. Well, anyway, and just before the Japanese dinner, he agreed to, well, he said, I'm doing this against my better judgment, but I cannot decline the request. He said, you just put it on that basis, and I put it just as it was a tough conversation. But he made the decision, there's no question. He talked to her with his wife. They had a term. And he also brought up that he had some very strong.
Like I
But I don't think
one accident that could happen is this. You could say, John, you know, our president has simply told you now. It's about it. I said, you forget the conversation. If it ever comes up, you are not going to ask. And I really mean it. So I don't want you to talk this to Ehrlichman or anybody else because it will never stay quiet.
Right. I agree.
That's it. Never, 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 never stay quiet. This art of the Fed does leak. I know that everybody can say that here. I don't know what happened in the game in the hill. It comes from here. I know that. But there's no talking about it. I don't know. I don't mean from top people, but somewhere or
other. And then, I agree with you. This, well, there's no purpose served by saying it.
Now, the point that I need to say is that
here,
with John, who would simply say that you were thinking about it, and that I just wanted to be perfectly candid. I don't want to force Peterson into this. Be planning it on to him. Would he feel more comfortable with Alan, who's a less stature, and so forth? I simply what I really want is a man who can work with Conlon and carry it out, and he has feels totally comfortable with in terms of loyalty, and so forth. And it will not cause him any additional problems. One will take some problems off of him. That's really what I'm trying to get at. If he sees it that way, fine. And if he wants Alan, we'll do it. It may be that he thinks that Fanning is just too much of a palace guard, top of Bracy Fall, you know. Fanning has this history of bracing all of the oil people, and maybe Fanning, he's got that in the back of his mind, too. You never know what John's thinking about.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So, but I see what happened. Well, can I talk to John a little on a personal basis?
Page one speaker.
We could have really hit the button. might have just got to sit there and listen by his tongue.
He's going to do that.
I always should have maybe just listened to the story.
But I think that, if I may say so, I think it would be very useful to you, and terrible bore, but very useful to you in the space of the next quite a little while, to have him in over to the place across the street and just sit there and put your feet up and let him ramble. Mm-hmm. Can't let him get off the ditch. He's the only dependable, powerful instrument mental coach you have on Capitol Hill. Mm-hmm. Only one you can.
Would you have him on bus?
Yes, sir. And then ask Butts to come in about 30 minutes. Actually, this is the idea. I'm talking in terms of an hour. It's could be less than an hour.
Or an hour with Page.
So I think it's urgent because there's an awful lot of rides on his active support in agriculture. Well, thank you very much.
Well, we might have, why don't you have you come in with it? That might be a good idea, you working in.
Well,
would that be good?
Certainly I would enjoy that. Nonetheless,
I think if you had
30 minutes to let him just talk to it's just so damn important.
But you know his reference to a brief chat on the airplane going out to...
Yeah.
I think that was about an hour and a half, that brief chat.
An hour and a half.
Well, that's
nice.
That's
a great.
An hour and a half.
Just like Tom Steve. He still
the whole before he had 3 hours of traffic, and he never stopped talking. He drove her right up the wall.
The two longest talking people I've ever met in my entire life are Tom Steve and Pace Belichick. They had no way to terminate. And so they... And not to ignore it, and not to have done just this, except for the fact that he is in critical condition now, to try to prove what he says.
So you'd get him in for a chat?
Get him in for a chat.
But without you?
Without anybody, for 30 minutes, and having our bus, and two others.
Would you have a bus in?
Yeah, that's happened.
You would have a greater than two or not?
Well, I think probably not. I think you and Earl and therefore another 30 minutes. And
he likes the bus, so
he likes it. He knew it, of course, in the earlier.
But what do you think I should say to him?
Well, what I would say is, Paige, the first thing I do is dismiss this problem. I'd say, Paige, the greatest cross the president bears, almost, aside from the burdens of the presidency for the nation, is the oppressiveness of the job from the standpoint of his best friends. My best friends are the ones most angry with me always, because I have to see them the least. And I have to expect the most of them to understand. And so I see it, and I know it's a vice, it's a bad thing, but it works out this way inevitably. All across this country, all over Capitol Hill, my closest friends are always fishing because they can't come and tell me what they think.
Because we have to talk about the people that we can't talk about.
That's right. And this is true of every president, and it's a sad thing. And so I'm just cross you have to bear in this office. And I'm sick about it in connection with you, who've been my closest friend in many respects for many years. Trouble is, there are 19 standing committees, Paige, each with a ranking Republican in the House alone. And there are 12 more in the Senate. That's 31 by itself. Each of them with a claim to see me at any time.
Yeah.
And I just trapped. Well, and then just let him wander. And he, I don't know what he'll say. He might be uptight. He's real bad. So, thank you very much.
Uptight for you.
No, I can tell him. See, I was afraid if I didn't do this, he'd say, did you personally get it? And I'd say, no, I gave it to Bob or gave it to John or Laker or something like that. If I hadn't done this, giving this to you by myself.
Oh, sure. I'm trying to get it to
him. Well, I say if I hadn't.
Sure.
If I hadn't turned mine, he was in. I said, no, someone else is going to have it.
Just the Talisker.
And then he'd say, oh, sure.
I understand the Talisker.
Thanks.
But you would suggest seeing him maybe the next 3 weeks or perhaps 2 or 3 weeks.
As soon as you can. I'd do it within 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You had for the Lincoln Day period, for example. See, this is the 20th. We haven't got much time. See, these guys come here and they
Whitaker's talked to him by the hour. They've got these new guys that they've been working in on him. Bryce is, you know, moves in to try and get him from the old timers, say, McGregor from the straight congressional thing.
His problem.
Once in a while, one of these boils up to this kind of a point, I think, where the guy just, you know, he becomes irrational on the point of it isn't, he isn't trying to accomplish anything.
It isn't really anything he objects to and what they're doing.
The only thing he's after, no, he's been carrying the water for you on all your programs. He is, that is it.
He wants to see the president.
He wants to see the president. And the issue is can I see the president, not what I have to cover with.
Good to have her talk about it or confrontation about it or anything like that.
Okay. I want to try off this food in there. Cure. So are you from the Middle East and Cuba?
No, Cuba and Chile. They both got the
That's, it's better to have a...
Yeah, so it doesn't just care where the Jews are in. It's in mind. Cuba and Chile. Also, I guess, not.
Well, that's why through China, China is a problem, because it doesn't matter that
Bill, back to the, let's look here at the mining operation. If you could you feel that he's too much of a self-starter, or he's going to take too much into himself, we don't want to impose him. We're not trying to find somebody. We want somebody that will help him. Would Alan be better? See, and you say you've got a man over here, he's not done no hell of a lot about it, but he's bright and loyal, ambitious, and of course, and conservative, and would do it undoubtedly. My friend, maybe that's a better way to do it, if it is, but we want to be, but the hope that my whole purpose would be to have the mining operation is to let it be the buffer. In other words, we have two different modes of operation. We have what we do. There, Conley and I must make the decisions. And this I clearly understand. Conley and I are going to make the decisions on monetary matters, on trade matters, because whenever they're involved, on matters involving expropriation, on matters involving these loans and so forth. We're going to do it. On the other hand, that's the way we do it. Then the question is how we do it. And he and I will have our conversations and so forth, our personal. The question is how we do it. That it is not, of course, to his interest to be out in front of all that because it'll bring too much China with other cabinet officers and so forth and the like. And so what we want is to have all the White House staff, basically, a man who will ostensibly be doing this, a man who will broker these things, but who will know basically when he hears from me or from Conley that those are his orders. Well, that's really what it gets down to. Conley, incidentally, is not one that goes off on his own very much either. I mean, despite the old thing in Morrell, he asks, he thinks he's, you know what I mean, he wants to do like he always said, well, I'll do whatever the president wants. Sergeant Boyle, he carries it, I need to. Yet I don't want Conley to be in a position where he'll then say, well, he's just too goddamn much trouble. I'm going to take this crap and so forth and so on. I don't want to be in these fights. See, he's in that kind of mood, or was. And I don't want that mood fed off at this point. That's why I think you'd better get to it rather than Flanagan at this point. Maybe it's Flanagan just quite some of them, they can handle it. This is not a situation where Flanagan can go in and say, look here, John, I'm sorry, this is equals. Flanagan is not his equal. I mean, he is, but he cannot talk that out. He's got to talk in terms of how he can, you see what I'm getting at?
The thing that leaves open, which is what I kind of like to explore with Conley, is you and he make the decisions, but who does the staff work for you to lead to the decisions?
And on the staff work, to lead to the decisions in the trade area and so forth, I think the planning office or the Allen office would be very important.
And who does the wheeling of the other departments?
Yes. And in terms of brokering some of these things with other departments, I think I don't want to, in other words, brokering it with Peterson, who was an eager beaver and a self-starter, brokering it with Stan, with Rogers. I said, I think there we ought to take that heat off of him and have it done from the White House. In other words, we have two things, what we do, how we make the decisions there, he and I, together, he's the guy we'll depend upon. He in effect, will be the man that will exert a veto on that. Then second, how do we carry them out? At first, at second, and we make it. And so, in order to make the decision, we want the very best staff work, and they will prepare that for us. Then second, how do we implement those decisions? Sometimes we'll have meetings, sometimes we'll have just programming around and so forth.
Well, that's where you can use the council. Let the council sit there. Then, I don't mean in the meeting necessarily, but as an entity, feed their input in so that,
and sometimes they
Rogers can't go running on saying the goddamn Conley's made a decision on foreign policy.
Sometimes they have to. Now, they have good ideas too. Rogers may have an idea. And certainly Peterson will have. I don't think that would be related to Peterson's announcement, though. You got him nailed down. He
focus on others. And that's what your staff is there for. Well, Romney, think way back at the beginning. Let me be the lead guy on this, and I'll pull the other departments together.
It works.
I guess so. Well, hell, you know.
Well, then,